is in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, and then in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. One of the disciples came to Jesus after he'd been praying, and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus provides some information about content, and more importantly, about persistency. And we want to look at those things. There's so much we could talk about on prayer. We could literally spend many classes talking about prayer. We have so much information that gives us example of prayer, content of prayer. We're commanded to pray, what we're instructed to pray about. There is just a tremendous amount of information that we can learn about. We don't have that much time today, so we want to just pick up a few highlights. The first passage is in Luke 11, verses 1 through 4. Thanks, Terry. "Lord, teach us to pray." Who's got that? Please read.
Chapter 11, verse 1. "It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.'"
Okay, thank you. The Jews this era typically prayed in a different manner. They had a certain method, and it was largely, at least my studies indicate, it was largely consistent of praise to God. They were not typically making requests, not the people in general. John had apparently taught his followers to do something different. He taught them something different, but yet it was most likely consistent with God's expectation, with God's will. And Jesus builds on that. We refer to this prayer as the Lord's Prayer. It's recorded in two places, both in Matthew chapter 6 and also here in Luke 11. But Jesus' prayers are recorded in many other places, and there are a lot of them that we could look at. This text does differ a little bit from Matthew. It's not quite the same. It's not verbatim. It serves as a model in two ways. It's an example specifically, and we often recite it. Secondly, it does outline some specific content that we want to pick up on. It's very brief, but yet it gives us some insight as to what we should include in our prayers. Next slide. First off, in verse 2, Jesus praises the Father. Similarly, in our prayer life, we should include praise in our prayer. Then he moves on to specific requests. And this is probably the unique difference about what John taught and what Jesus taught, is that we are to make specific requests. And we're going to look at some passages that tell us a lot more about that as we move on. But he says, give us. He says, forgive us and lead us. And they're very specific. So the content is really very simple. It should at least include praise, and it should at least include specific petitions or requests. Next slide. Well, just page down. There you go. And today, I hear often a lot of requests, and that is consistent with the way we are instructed in God's Word, but I don't hear as much praising. When I hear other people pray, do you think, this is the first question, guys, so get ready, do you think we should include more praise in our prayers? Silence. In our public prayers, yes. Dan. Sometimes it's important, yes, that we praise God, but I think the contrast there is neat. It's real second nature to ask for things, to make requests. You have to think about praise a little bit. You have to put your thinking cap on. Yeah. Yeah, that's excellent insight. What Butch is saying is that we should concentrate on both things, both praise and our requests. It's second nature to know what we want, but it's very important that we spend a little time and focus on what God has given us and created for us to be in focus on praising Him. And long story short, the answer to the question is, it's neither yes or no. Okay, but I think the question is only relevant to you as an individual in your prayer life. You need to ask yourself, okay, am I praising God sufficiently? Am I totally skewed to one end and all I do is petition God with requests? So you need to have a balance. You need to strike a balance and spend time in both areas. Sometimes in a single prayer, but maybe there's times where, like Dan said, all you need to do is just praise God. Focus on praise in your prayers. Next slide. Next reader, Luke 11, 5 through 10. Could you read, please?
And he said to them, hello. Suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I'll tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it shall be opened.
Thank you. You got it. Okay. Jesus is reinforcing the need to pray. He's telling us a parable about a friend who calls on his neighbor and he has a specific request. I want you to note 4 points. It's very important. It's not out of friendship that the neighbor gets up and gives him the bread. It's out of his persistence, that is, out of the one who's asking, it's out of his persistence and boldness that he will give him the bread. Jesus makes an application. He says, so I say to you. Okay, he's looking at the parable and he's telling us what it means. Ask, seek, and knock literally means to keep on asking, keep on knocking, keep on praying. The Lord answers the prayers of those who are persistent. Page down. So why does the Lord require that we ask again and again instead of just once? You ever think about that? I'll repeat it. Why does the Lord require that we ask again and again instead of just once? Dan. That's a good point. He says it's because of what it does for us. It causes us to rethink what we're asking for. What other possibilities are there? Why does the Lord expect us to ask and ask again? Yes, ma'am.
I think it keeps you on your knees a little bit longer.
she said, it keeps us on our knees a little longer. Yes, ma'am.
It's an expression of faith.
That's right. You ever think about the fact that Jesus spent three verses talking about the content, you know, and he spends another four or five verses talking about importunity, that is, persistency? And when we get to Luke 18, it's the same thing. He's going to go through that same passage and tell us, don't give up, keep on asking. Any other comments? Yes, Carl.
Well, I think daily we probably run across things that we want or want to pray for, but they may not be that important. We think they are, but maybe they're not. And so the next day, the importance of that one thing we wanted is gone. And I think what he might be saying is, if it's worthwhile, keep repeating, keep asking.
If we're really serious about it, if it's really on our heart, if it's really what we need to be praying about, we'll keep on praying. Let's go to the next slide. In fact, I think that's the next reader. Okay, this is Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. It's kind of lengthy. Please read.
Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on the earth.
Okay, thank you. Next slide. Next question. What is the central point Jesus is making in this parable? This is an easy question. Be persistent. That's right. Page down. Again, Jesus teaches us to be persistent with our prayer. He told this parable to encourage us to keep on praying. Don't give up. The point of the parable is this. If even an unjust judge will recognize and give a petitioner what he's asking for, how much more will God, your Father, grant the request of his children who cry out to him day and night? Be persistent. God requires you to be persistent, not because he's reluctant, but because he wants you to demonstrate your persistency, that you're serious about your request. And I don't know if that's an absolute answer. We talked about some other possibilities. It's something I personally have found to be difficult and I struggle with in my prayer life, but it remains. Keep on asking. Don't give up. Next slide. We're instructed to pray. And there are a lot of passages. I just picked a few here to look at. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. He says, I urge them, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and those of authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Philippians 4 and 6. We've mentioned this in the past. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Ephesians 6, verse 18. and pray with the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Page down for me, please. Next question. Look at these passages. What do you learn about what else we should include in our prayers? Thanksgiving, that comes to mind real quick. What else?
Each other.
Say again? Each other? One another? All the saints? The saints being us? Those in Christ? What else?
Those in authority.
Those in authority. What else? Yes.
Particularly like that about praying for those in authority. The look behind it is that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness.
Why is that important to us? Well, we're free to gather right here today because of that. Yeah, it may not always be that way. I know Ken included a section in his sermon this morning that had to do with the unrest in Uganda, and it's a very good illustration. What else? So you said peace and quiet lives. Yes, Bush. All the time. Now, the point is, this is just three little verses. Three little verses on prayer, and it's just chock full of stuff we need to be including in our prayers. I mean, we can go on and on and on. We can glean so much about what we should be including in our prayer life from God's Word. So, again, this gets back to the point. You can't grow spiritually if you're not in God's Word. You need to be reading God's Word. You need to be studying God's Word. That's a choice. That's your choice. I can't tell you whether you're making that choice or not. Maybe if I'm around you long enough, I might observe your behavior, and I might know whether you are doing that. Because if you're in God's Word, it's going to influence your behavior. It's going to influence your life and how you act in front of other people. Not just here, not just your brothers and sisters in Christ, but wherever you go. That's a short list. What should we pray for? Just those scriptures that we looked at. Everyone. Everything. Now, I think it's helpful to think about that. You know, I've heard it all my life. Pray for everything. Pray for everyone. It's probably more important to say, don't exclude anyone. Don't exclude anything. Because I think sometimes we get busy in our life and we're caught up in maybe what we think are the more important things that we ought to ask God for. That there's stuff down here, you know, I'm not going to trouble God with that. You know, that's not worth asking about. That's not true. And in fact, sometimes those little things become such a problem for you in your life that you need to be including those things, maybe more importantly than anything else that you're petitioning God for. But pray for everything. Pray for anyone. We can't forget Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Page down. So how does the Holy Spirit help you in your prayers? I mean, He's right there in front of you. He knows our heart. How else? Yeah, I see a hand back there. Hey, Karen. Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever had to talk through an interpreter? You know, it's awkward. I've been blessed by many opportunities to do that, both to individuals and to large groups, socially, business-wise, church-wise, you know, and you speak through an interpreter. But when you're sitting there in front of them and you're talking, you know, there's a lot that can be gleaned from your expression. Your body language says a lot. So you can watch them talk to you, and you can learn. You get some feel for what they're saying. You may even understand a few of the words. You may pick up a little, but you still depend on that interpreter to translate. Now, I don't know why it's like this. I think we tend to think of this as working like God and man, and we pray to God. But the reality is, the Holy Spirit's over here, and I'm not real sure how to illustrate this. Maybe it's like this, but I know Jesus is in heaven, and what does He do? He intercedes for us also. Okay? So I got the Son and the Spirit interceding for me, interpreting for me. They know my life. Yet I'm on my knees and I'm talking to God. So I kind of think, and it works like this, but it's really working like this. There's an interpreter, and I don't know what it is. I just know, you know, it's a humbling phrase to read that passage. We do not know what we ought to pray for. When I was preparing this, I visualized myself talking to the Spirit. Yes, I know what I need to pray for. And He's going, no, you don't. I'm going, yes, I do. No, you don't. I mean, it works that way. We don't know. Now, I think it's important, next slide, that we have the right motive. Your prayers are for the honor and glory of God alone. And I've given you several passages there, but 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I mean, in a nutshell, that's why we exist, for His glory, for His praise. Your prayers must reflect the Spirit of Jesus who prayed to the Father, not my will, but your will be done. If we're growing spiritually, we're trying to transform our minds. We're trying to become more and more like Christ. And we want to see evidence of that in our lives. But we can't lose sight of the fact that, especially in our prayer life, any aspect of our life, it's about the Father's will, not ours. Doing God's will must be the goal of our prayers. Next slide. I've got a few other thoughts here. You know, when I started putting this together, I ended up with a lot of slides and a lot of notes. And I just started going, well, I can't cover all this and I can't cover that. And I'm sure you're sitting there thinking, well, is John going to get to this or is John going to get to that? And I may not. But that doesn't, don't hold that one against me. There's so much information here. Yeah, Glenn. He knows our hearts. He knows what we're about. The simple fact that we go through the prayer, we articulate This is communication with God. It's part of developing the relationship we're supposed to have with God. And it's an essential part of growing spiritually. But we have to articulate what it is we need, what it is we want. We need to praise God. We need to give thanks to God for what He's given us. The Spirit is going to interpret that. The Spirit is going to do that with groans that, we can't talk that way. But our speaking, our articulating, our using the words to pray gives glory to God, and He wants that. Now, when I was a little child, I prayed a certain way. Now that I'm a middle-aged man, I pray another way. Hopefully, as I grow and mature in Christ, I will pray as He expects me to pray. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Well, let's look at these verses here. They kind of speak to that. Verse John 15 and 7, which is our base text. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. There's a condition there. You got to remain in Christ. Okay, you got to remain in Him. So a necessary part of effective prayer is being in Christ. A godly life is part of effective prayer. 1 John 3:21. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. Again, there's a condition in there. We need to be about doing what pleases God. We need to know those things and we need to behave that way. We'll receive anything we ask for if we're earnestly trying to live that way. Again, the Spirit's going to intercede for us. Yeah, Glenn. You've given me a good segue into the next slide, but I want to mention that sin is an obstacle to prayers. Just as in 1 John 3, we'll receive what we ask because we obey His commands. So if sin gets in our life, and to the extent that we become dark, it separates us from God and will render our prayer life ineffective. Next slide. The Word of God makes it very clear that God answers prayer. That's what you guys are talking about. We can't talk about prayer unless we talk about whether God answers prayer. You mentioned Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles 30. That, if you recall, that in that passage, the Israelites partook of the Passover without being ceremonially clean. And Hezekiah beseeched God on their behalf to accept them as clean. And God answered Hezekiah's prayer, okay, and made them clean. 2 Corinthians verse 1 through 10. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. God answers prayers. Now, in the second bullet, God may give you what you do not expect. You know, sometimes when we go to God in prayer, we have our own set of expectations. And that may lead us astray. In other words, we're asking for what we think we want, what we think it is, and we may not recognize when God answers our prayer because it wasn't what we expected. Best example I've got for you, have you ever prayed for patience? Does God always make things get better? Now, sometimes he gives you more trials in order to grow your patience, to develop your patience. So you don't necessarily get what you expect. Sometimes it gets worse. In fact, I've got recent fond memories of that. It gets worse, it gets worse, it gets worse, but God is growing your patience. Let's move on to the next slide. I think we've got to wrap up. We're almost out of time. Closing thoughts. Now, last week on the way home, Master Andrew made a valuable suggestion. I was using these little boxes for bullets. And it just intuitively makes you think we got to check off that box. Right, Dan? We got to check off that box. So I got away from the boxes. I went to these little clover leaves. So hopefully you're not thinking these are points that you have to check off in your life. But Jesus, the disciples approached Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Our prayer should contain both praise and requests. There are other things that we talked about as well. We are to be persistent with our prayers. Very important. He spent a lot of time telling us, don't quit asking. Keep on asking. Keep on knocking. We are instructed to pray for everything. Again, I don't necessarily think of that as everything, but make sure you don't place any exclusions on what you do pray for. Don't leave anything out just because you don't think it's important. The Spirit assists us with our prayers. Our prayers are for the glory and praise of God. Pray with the proper motivation, that is, God's will be done. Prayer should be a vital part of your daily life, and in fact, it is an essential part of growing spiritually. So this last question is just for you to take with you. What steps are you going to take to make prayer a more vital part of your daily life? That's your thought for the week. Memory verse, so I say to you, ask and it will be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Opened. Any closing remarks? Comments? Yes, ma'am.
Occasionally, that we need to add fasting to our prayers. I think it makes them more effective. I know personally I have received a miracle because I was praying and fasting both. We are commanded to pray. And in Matthew 6, he says, when you pray, pray like this. In the very next section, he says, when you fast, not if you fast. Also, the apostles continued in prayer and fasting. And I think it's a very important part to help us spiritually to get closer to God.
Good comment. She's saying, remember that fasting was an important part of the first century and their lifestyle, especially as it related to prayer and growing. Any other comments? All right. Thanks, and have a good week.